Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, welcome and Merry Christmas to all of you. Let's pray now. Lord, we're so glad to be here this evening, this very warm California evening, as we reflect on the night our dear Savior was born. And Lord, we pray that as we think about the amazing gift that has been given to us, we would open it and enjoy it and receive it now and through our lives and for all eternity. So speak to us from your word, we would pray. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Well, you guys look great. A lot of you are wearing red, I see. Wow, I didn't get that memo. If you're wearing red, please stand now. If you're wearing red, stand. Really, seriously, stand up. No, stand up. It looks festive. Yeah. Now, wait. Okay, let's finish this. This little girl has the right idea. If you're wearing green, red and green. If you're wearing green, stand up. Red, back up. Red, red. Look, it's Christmas. This little girl here. Come here, little girl. What's her name? Come on down. This little girl has it perfectly. Perfectly. Here, come on up here. Look at that. Very good. Merry Christmas. Here, jump. Boom. Okay. No, that's not one of my granddaughters. That's just some random girl we found here. Well, it's good to see all of you. And how many of you are visiting Harvest for the first time? You've never been here before. Raise up your hand if you're a visitor. Well, that's great. Glad you could come. Welcome to all of you. And welcome to all of you at Harvest Orange County as well for this special Christmas Eve service. Well, listen, if you have a Bible, we're going to land in Romans 6:23 in just a few moments, but I'll just read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but you may if you choose to, because this is America, and we have the right to turn where we want to turn and say what we want to say. That's right. All right, so Christmas shopping. Who's completely done? Raise their hand up. Okay, you guys are good? You're on it. How many of you are going to go shopping after the service? Raise your hand up. A few of you. It's always guys. Why is it always guys? Raise your hand up if you're still going to go shopping again. I want to see. Because there's a lady there. Well, there are a few. That's okay. That's all good. Now, how many of you already have peaked and you know what you're getting for Christmas? Admit it. You're in church. Don't lie. You've peaked. You know what you're getting. Hey, I know what I'm getting for Christmas this year. Old and fat. That's it, pretty much. No, I was doing some last-minute Christmas shopping the other morning. I got up really early. I was still wearing my red sweats. I sat down for a moment. Little kids started climbing in my lap, telling me what they wanted. These are the jokes, people. No, but seriously, I can think back in times when I wanted certain things at Christmas and did not get them. One story that comes to mind is I asked my mom to get me a bicycle. And not just any bicycle. I wanted a Schwinn Stingray. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here? Okay, right, okay. Back in the day, the cool bike was the Schwinn Stingray. You know, it had those little handlebar. They call them ape hangers, actually. And then the banana seat, very cool. And it had a smaller tire in front and a bigger tire on the back. And the one I wanted had a stick shift on it. This is what I requested for Christmas. This is all I wanted. And I knew I was going to get it because I dropped 1 million hints about it. And late at night, I heard some noise in the front room. And I heard the sound of something being built. And I thought, why are they building it? It comes pre-assembled. And I came out the next morning and found out why. They had bought a bicycle in some drugstore and had put it together, and it wasn't the Schwinn Stingray. So that was the first shock. I didn't get the Stingray. I got this other bike. All I remember is it had red tires. Now, listen, nowadays tires come in all colors. Back in that day, nobody had red tires. This was like humiliating to ride a bike with red tires. So this is the truth. I got out a can of black spray paint and painted the tires. So I rode for 15 minutes and most of the paint came off and now there's speckled red tires. And then the sun kind of bleached them out and they're speckled pink tires. So that was just a disaster. But I remember also a number of years ago, I was living in a little apartment complex and I had a little friend I used to hang around with. His nickname was Pip. His real name was Philip. And I was very happy with my haul that Christmas until I saw what Pip got. He got a scuba diver. Now, remember, this is 60s technology, very basic. He basically was about this big. His legs kind of just sort of did this. That's it. And bubbles came out. And that was it. He put batteries in. He just did this, sunk to the bottom of the pool with bubbles. And I thought, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, I didn't care about anything I had because I wanted Pip's scuba diver. Yeah, well, things don't change over the years, do they? Because then sometimes we're very disappointed, even as adults. This year, we gave out dolls to our granddaughters. We have four granddaughters. And so I had the brilliant idea of, instead of giving them all the same doll, which I've learned from experience, is always the best idea. Get them all the same thing. Well, I thought I'll kind of divvy up the dolls and, well, you know, one isn't happy because she wants the doll the other one got, and the crying ensues. I'm thinking, oh, man, come on. That's just the way it kind of goes, though, right? It's called human nature. Okay, here's the question. How many of you have ever re-gifted? Re-gifted. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's all of you? Really? Let me define what re-gifting is, receiving a gift. I don't necessarily want all that much. You know, maybe it's that tie or, you know, a gift certificate at the late new restaurant that just opened called the Vomitorium. I don't really want to go there. So I say, hey, I got you something for Christmas. Now, how many of you have received a gift and given it to someone else? Raise your hand. Interesting, more hands went up that time. Little definition help. Regifting is fine as long as you don't regift to the original person who gave you the gift. That is a very embarrassing moment if that happens, for sure. Well, you know, I think Christmas is a time where we do give gifts. And there's going to be some gifts that we're going to open up, maybe tonight or tomorrow, depending on your family tradition. Some will be exactly what you wanted. Some will be less than what you wanted. Some will be gifts you did not want at all. But I hope that you will think about the greatest gift God has waiting for you. Heard a story about a postal worker who was sorting through the mail, came across an unstamped handwritten envelope addressed to God. Well, his curiosity was piqued, so he opened it up, and here he found the hastily written words of an elderly woman to God. She was telling God that her life savings of $200 had been stolen. And if God did not answer her prayer and provide her with some money, she was going to have a very hard Christmas with really nothing to eat. So this postal worker was touched, and he set down his AR-15. No, I'm kidding. That was a bad joke. Okay, so he scratched that. All right, listen. See, sometimes I edit most of these things out. Every now and then one gets out that I should have kept in. Anyway, moving forward. So he goes to his other postal workers and he says, hey, you want to help this lady out? And they all were touched and said yes. So they did a little collection, raised $180 for her and put it on an envelope. And they didn't sign who sent it. They didn't put a stamp on it. And someone hand-delivered it to her house. So, obviously, that woman had a very Merry Christmas. Well, then they got a letter about a week later, same handwriting. They open it up. It's from this woman again, and it's to God. Dear God, thank you for the $180 you sent for Christmas, which would have been so bleak otherwise. P.S., it was about $20 short, but it was probably one of those thieving workers at the post office. Talk about not being appreciated. Many times people don't appreciate the gift you give. You know, maybe you give them a really valuable gift, but they don't understand it, and you wish you'd left the price tag on it. Like, that actually cost me a lot. A smile would have been nice. Well, listen, I'm going to talk to you about the true gift of Christmas. This gift is not wrapped under your tree tonight. In fact, this gift cannot be bought with money. But if you're a Christian, you carry this gift in your heart. And if you do not yet have this gift, I want to tell you how you can receive it tonight. But what is the gift of Christmas? Listen, it is the gift of eternal life. That's why God came. We love the Christmas story. How the Lord comes and sends that angel to Mary, living in Nazareth, tells her she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. Then the angel tells Joseph that he is to take Mary as his wife. And the decree is given by Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So Mary and Joseph make the difficult journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And there the Son of God, the Savior of the world, God incarnate, enters our life, our world, in that manger. And then shepherds are alerted who come and praise him. And sometime later, wise men show up bearing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, it's really one of the most beautiful stories you've ever heard. If it were a child story, it would be magnificent. And it is a child story. It's for children. It's for adults. It's for everyone. It's not a fairy tale. It's history. It's his story. It's real. But why? Why did God send his son to this earth? Why did Jesus walk among us as a man? Why was all this done? So God could give to you the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, it's the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you know, some gifts, when you open them, you'll get an initial excitement over a new gadget, maybe a new outfit. But gadgets are quickly outdated, as are clothes. Today's PlayStation or Xbox will soon be as dated as a Betamax or a mood ring. Remember mood rings? Or even a pet rock. But then there are other gifts. Then when you first receive them, you don't really realize how valuable they are. In fact, they grow more valuable to you with the passing of time. Maybe it's a family heirloom, like your grandfather's watch that you remembered him wearing as a little child, or a drawing from your little one from when they were very young, something that's personal, something that has sentimental value, the kind of thing you would grab first if your house were on fire. Or maybe it's money that was placed into your account. Maybe you had practical grandparents, and instead of buying you toys, they put money into a savings account for you every year. Well, as time has passed, though you resented it initially, that money has grown and there's some pretty healthy interest on it, and it's a lot more valuable than discarded toys. However, if you have an original Darth Vader figure from the 70s, that's worth around $6,000. Hope you held on to those. I bought a lot of those crazy things. I don't know where any of them are, and certainly they're not in their original packaging. Check this out. An original Barbie doll in its packaging is worth $8,000 to $12,000 now. But for most of us, we didn't save those or collect those. They're gone. But this gift, the gift of eternal life, only grows in value as you begin to understand what it's really all about. But let me tell you about the immediate benefits of this gift. This is not a gift that only kicks in when death comes. This is a gift that can be enjoyed right now. One of the aspects of this gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, is something called justification. And we throw that word around as Christians. Do we really understand what it means? In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, we've been justified by faith. Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace where we stand. So what we're being told here is the reason we can approach God, the reason I have access to God, the reason that God will even hear my prayer tonight is because of the gift that God has given. And that includes justification. What does that mean? Well, the word justification is a unique biblical word. It has a twofold meaning. First of all, it speaks of what God has taken away. Secondly, it speaks of what God has put in its place. So what has God taken away? my sin. The moment I put my faith in Jesus Christ, my sin is instantaneously forgiven. That's pretty great. Think of all the things you've done that you've regretted, those thoughts, those acts, those words you spoke. Well, God can forgive you of those because of the death of Jesus on the cross and a fall. Turn from that sin and call it what it is. God will forgive me. And not only does he forgive me, but he forgets my sin. Micah 7:18 says, God throws our sins into the depths of the ocean. I love that picture. I'm a scuba diver, but I don't dive very often. But a number of years ago, I was diving in Maui, and it was about 30 feet down. A group of us were going along underwater there, and we could see the bottom. The water's very clear in Maui. And so we saw the bottom there, and you could see sea life and the fish around you. And then we were kind of going along, and all of a sudden, I couldn't see the bottom anymore. And I realized I'd come to the end of a shelf, sort of like the stage right here. But this shelf went down so far, I could not see the bottom. It just went forever. It's just dark. So I looked up, and it was water. I looked down, and it was water. I was over the little shelf, and I just turned around. It freaked me out. See, I wasn't any deeper than I'd been a few moments before, but as long as I could see the bottom, I felt a certain security. But the moment I couldn't, it was frightening. I thought some big giant whale's going to swallow me or whatever. So I didn't get down very deep. The deepest I've been is around 100 feet. But God says he's taken our sins and buried them in the depths of the ocean. So that must be pretty deep. He forgives and he forgets. Therefore, we should not choose to remember what God has chosen to forget. That's justification. I'm forgiven of my sin. It's like Corrie ten Boom used to say, God has taken our sins. He's thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness. He has posted a sign that says, no fishing allowed. You know, on my keyboard of my computer, I have a little key that has the word delete on it. So when I'm typing a document and I have some text there on the screen, and I think, oh, I don't want to use that. I'm going to delete that. I highlight it, right? And I hit the delete key. Where does that text go? Is there some holding place for text? You know, I don't know. I don't really care. That text probably goes the same place that my socks go. My wife says, you have almost a whole drawer full of one sock. Where are the other socks? I don't know. Do they go to like single socks clubs or something? What are these socks up to? But I always save the sock. That's what's funny. I'll never throw away a sock. Maybe one day I'll find its mate. Yeah, I don't know. But all those things are gone. That's what God does with our sins. He highlights our sins, if you will, and then he hits his delete key, and they are gone forever. Now, if that was all there was to justification, if that was all there was to the gift God has given to us, that would be enough. My sins forgiven. Fantastic. But as they say in those commercials, but wait, there's more. There's a lot more. Justification also speaks of what God has put in the place of my sin. My sin is gone, and in its place is his righteousness. The word justified means to put to one's account. When God justifies a person, when a person believes in Jesus, he places the righteousness of Christ into their account, and that balances the moral and spiritual budget for them and for us. Acts 13 says, brothers, listen. In this man, there's forgiveness for your sins. Anyone who trusts in him is freed from sin and is declared righteous or justified before God. Chuck Swindoll put it this way, and I quote, justification is a sovereign act of God whereby he declares righteous the believing sinner while he is still in a sinning state. Here's how it works. Be like you were in debt, big time, for $10 million. You got way too carried away at Target the other day. Bought everything inside, okay? Now you're going to go to prison. So you're in the courtroom, and someone shows up and says, well, I'm going to pay their debt. And it turns out that person is Bill Gates. He has enough money to do that. And so he pays your debt. And he says, you're free to go. Well, thank you, Bill Gates. I don't really know you. And actually have a Mac. That's okay. You're free to go. Just use Microsoft software on it, and I'm good. Okay, Bill Gates, thank you so much. He goes, hey, on your way home, you know, go by the bank and check out your balance. You know, see how much you have in there. And then you go home and you punch in your little code and you used to have like $2. Now you have $100 million. Okay, I'm pretty good here. Now here's the point. God forgave you of all of your sin, if that was not enough, but then he put the righteousness of Christ into your account. Now you are declared righteous before God. You want to know what a righteous man looks like? Look right here. Oh, Greg, you're crazy, man. I know you. Yeah, I know me too. I'm not righteous because of what I do. I'm righteous because of what he did and the gift that God gave to me. That's why. I'm declared righteous even while I'm still in a sinning state. Do I always live righteously? No. Do I always do righteous things? No. Do I appear righteous before God because of my faith in Christ? Yes. I am a living saint. Now you've lost your mind, Greg. No, I haven't. Because the Bible calls Christians saints. You see? So you don't have to call me Saint Gregory. But I am a saint. And so are you. This is what God has done to the gift that he has given to all of us. It's just so amazing. Now, if that were all, it would be enough. But wait, there's more. God has adopted me into his family. What does that mean? Well, here's what the scripture says, Galatians 4. When the time is just right, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem those that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That verse sums it all up. That verse gives us the big picture of Christmas. At the appointed moment in time, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, tells her she's going to have Jesus as a child, supernaturally conceived in her womb, and she gives birth in that manger at Bethlehem. That's glorious, but why? To redeem those that are under the law. See, the law, the commandments of God, basically tell all of us we have sinned and we fall short. This sort of deflates the self-righteous person who thinks they've done enough good things to get to heaven because we've all broken God's commandments. But he came to redeem those that were under the law. Interestingly, the word redeem means to buy out of a slave market. So picture yourself, you're a slave and you're in a market for sale. You're in shackles. They take you up to the block. What's the bid for this slave? And someone near the back pays the price. And then you have the shackles taken off and you're introduced to your new owner, who's named Jesus. He says, you're free from that sin. You're free from that lifestyle. You're free from that addiction. You come with me now. I have someplace I want to take you. Well, where are we going? He says, we're going down to the courtroom. Why would we go to the courtroom? He says, because I'm going to adopt you. And now you're going to be my child. Not just a slave, my child. See, God has sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that are under the law, that we might receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that phrase, Abba, Father, is the Hebrew equivalent of us saying daddy or papa. It speaks of intimacy with God. That's what God has done for you. By adoption, God is saying, don't just stand in awe of me. He's saying, come close to me. That's what it comes to, a relationship with the Lord. Now, this is all worth it. If there was no afterlife, if there was no promise of heaven, just to know my sin is forgiven, my sin is forgotten, I have the righteousness of Christ in my account, I have a relationship with the Lord where I can approach him at any time, that would be enough. But listen, wait, there's more, a whole lot more. And you're going to see how much more one day, and so will I. Right now, we're in the before life, but the afterlife is coming, and God has so much in store for us. Jesus said in John 17:24, Father, I want these whom you've given me to be with me, so they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me even before the world began. Jesus is saying, I can hardly wait to show you heaven. I can hardly wait for you to see me in my splendor, in my magnificence, in my glory. You know, when I find something I like, I want to share it with a friend. That's why I like to lead tours to Israel, which we'll do next year. How'd you like that subtle Israel plug? But I love to take people there because it is so wonderful to see a person see it for the first time. It's sort of like the adult version of taking a kid to Disneyland. when an adult Christian sees Jerusalem for the first time. Well, I like to share those things. Like, for instance, I have a hamburger place. I'm not going to say what it is right now, but I think they have the best hamburger. It's not In-N-Out, by the way. Though they're a contender. I would give them the best takeout burger category. But this is the best sit-down burger place. So I've taken some friends there, and I'll say to them, this is the best hamburger you've ever had in your life. I guarantee it. Every one of them agrees with me. Maybe one day I'll reveal it to you. But you like to share things that are wonderful. Jesus says, I want you to share my glory. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. It's amazing. There was no room for him in the inn, yet he has many rooms for us. So here's the big thing about the gift. This gift is going to kick in when this life comes to an end. And this is where you're going to see everything in living color. All these promises that you've held to throughout your Christian life are now going to play out for you in real time as you leave this world and go to the next one. This is the gift God has given to you. That is why Paul says it's an unspeakable gift. Or as the New Living Translation puts it, it is a gift too wonderful for words. I read a story in the newspaper this last week about that horrible shooting at Arapahoe High School, where this disgruntled student was looking for a teacher he was angry at. The teacher got off the campus pretty quickly, and this boy was hunting for that individual. And sadly, some girl was shot, and she recently died. But we've seen these school shootings before, and he was, you know, everyone was terrified, and for good reason, because these shootings have happened far too many times now, and the students hide, and many of them thought this may be their last moment on earth. There was one boy named Matt Bowers, who was a senior on that campus, Matt Bowers, I should say. He was hiding with his classmates and his teacher. He thought, this is probably the end of my life, so he pulled out his ballpoint pen, and he wrote a final message to his family. He wrote, "Family, I love you so much. I'm here now." And then he drew a cross, implying he was in heaven. Thankfully, Matt was not shot and got out safely. But my point is, when you're in a classroom with someone looking for you with a gun, or you're in a battlefield in a firefight, or you're in a hospital bed in the last moments of your life, your priorities are going to change big time. And as you think about these things, you're going to gain a greater appreciation for the gift. A gift that maybe you value somewhat now, but on that day, it's going to be the most valuable thing you have. Not your car, not your house, not your investment, not your anything. It's going to be the gift. On her deathbed, Queen Elizabeth I said, "All my possessions for a moment of time, but no one could answer the request of the sovereign." Yes, it's the gift of eternal life. A gift you receive now and effectively open later. But it may not be as far off as we may think. You may open this gift a little sooner than you expected. That's why you want to have it now. You want to be sure that gift is with you. That's why I said, when you believe in Jesus, you effectively carry the gift in your heart. It's a part of your life. It's yours already to open when you need it. So how do you receive this unspeakable gift? Well, let me ask you a question. Would you receive a gift from a complete stranger? Let's say you're walking out of here today and you get in your car and maybe you go down to the mall and you're walking in. Somebody comes and has a big box, says, "Merry Christmas, this is for you." Would you take it? Well, I don't know, maybe. Well, wait a second. Would you be a little suspicious? Why is this person giving me this gift? You'd listen. Is it ticking? Is this safe? And that's a proper response, because who is this person? I don't feel comfortable accepting a gift from a complete stranger. So who's offering me this gift, this unspeakable gift? Well, Jesus Christ is. Therefore, you can trust him. You know it's safe. How do you receive this gift? Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So my question for you is, do you know God in a personal way tonight? This is why he came, to bring you this gift. This gift was his very son. As we're told over in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It was a gift from heaven. Jesus himself said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, the best gift ever given in human history was simply wrapped. I have a simple little box here, and this isn't the fanciest wrapping job ever. It's a nice one, little brown ribbon on a white piece of paper, but you know, it doesn't glitter. It doesn't have any extra things on it. It's basic. God sent his gift to us, and Jesus came in the most humble of circumstances. He was born in a cave, not in a palace. He was wrapped in rags, not even clean sheets, and certainly not satin. He shivered in the cold night air as he entered our world and breathed our air and lived our life and walked on our shoes, and then he died in our place. Why did he come? So we could all go shopping? No. He came so we could say like the wise men, let us come and worship him. So this gift is waiting for you. You say, well, let me ask you a question. What if I don't receive the gift that God offers? Well, then you'll receive your wages. You say, you lost me there. Okay, let's go back to Romans 6:23. Here's what the whole verse says. For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages and a gift. What are wages? Those are what you receive for work given. I don't know what kind of arrangement you have with your employer. Maybe you're paid by the hour. Maybe you're paid a commission. Maybe you're paid every 2 weeks, but however it works out, you have an arrangement. You give the work that's expected of you. They give you your paycheck. Those are your wages. You earn those wages. You deserve those wages, and thus you receive those wages. That's the arrangement. Notice God says the wages of sin, they're death. See, this is what you earn, this is what you deserve, this is what you get. Notice it doesn't say the wages of God are eternal life, because you can't buy eternal life. You can't earn eternal life. It's a gift, and the only way to receive it is to accept it in that way. So you say, what if I don't want the gift? Then you'll get your wages. And the wages of sin, they're death. Eternal separation from God. Facing judgment, and yes, even hell. That's not what God wants you to do. That's why he gave up everything to send you the gift, and you can receive it right now. Now, let's just say I want to give this gift to you. I say, Merry Christmas, here you go. Now, what are you supposed to do? Just stare at me? Or walk away from me? Well, do you want the gift? Well, I want it. Well, what do you do? Well, take the gift. Say, well, thanks very much, Greg. Merry Christmas to you, too. Here, I'm going to re-gift something. What is that? Oh, no. But, you know, the idea is you accept the gift. It's as simple as that. So God says, here's my gift for you, the gift of eternal life. You want it? You say, yes, receive it. You go, but how do you do that? The Bible says, for as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. You receive the gift as your own, and God will forgive you. So let me ask in closing, maybe you've come here tonight and you come with guilt because of sins you've committed. You come with a troubled heart because of the life you've lived. You come here with fear about the course your life is taking, fear about the afterlife. You're not sure if you'll go to heaven when you die. You don't have that certainty. You've tried to be a good person, but you don't know for sure that you'll be ready to meet God one day, and you want that to change. Well, listen, receive the gift, man. It's waiting for you. All you have to do is take it. It's already been purchased. You just say, Lord, thank you. Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, who rose, stands at the door of your life, and he knocks. And if you'll hear his voice and open the door of your life through prayer, he'll come in. If you haven't done that yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that as we close now in prayer. So let's all bow our heads. Let's pray. Everybody praying, please. Father, I pray for everyone here, everyone watching and listening. And I pray if they have not received the gift yet, help them to see how precious it is, how wonderful it is, and help them to accept it, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're praying. Maybe you would say tonight, this Christmas Eve of 2013, Craig, I want the gift. I want eternal life. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want my sin forgiven. I want to know God in this personal way. I want Jesus to come into my life right now. If that's your desire, if you want the gift of eternal life, if you want Jesus to come into your heart, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to go to heaven when you die, would you lift your hand up wherever you are and let me pray for you? Lift your hand up where I can see it and I'll pray for you. You want Christ to come into your life. God bless you. God bless you. So lift your hand up wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. Out there in the patio, you guys lift your hand up. I can't see you out there, but the Lord sees you. You at Harvest Orange County, raise your hand up right now. God will see you. That's all that matters. This is between you and God. Anybody else? You want his forgiveness? Raise your hand up. Let me pray for you now. God bless each one of you. Now I'm going to ask that every one of you who have raised your hand, if you would please, I want you to stand to your feet and I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you're asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. Again, stand to your feet. You that want his forgiveness. You that want to receive the gift. Even if you did not raise your hand, but you're ready to say yes to Jesus on this Christmas Eve, you want to receive him into your life, you stand up and I'll lead you in this prayer. Anybody else? Wherever you are, stand up. Stand up. Harvest Orange County, stand up out there in the patio. Stand to your feet. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. One final moment. If you're going to stand, stand now. Anybody else? God bless you that are standing. Others are standing, by the way. You won't be the only one. Anybody else? All right, you that are standing, I want you to pray this prayer out loud after me. Again, as I pray, pray this out loud after me. Pray with me now. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. But you were born in a manger, and you died on a cross, and you shed your blood for my sin. I turn from that sin now. I want to receive the gift of eternal life. So come into my life, Jesus. I choose to follow you from this night forward. Thank you for calling me and accepting me. And forgiving me, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you. God bless all of you. Amen.